This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. The term leadership can sometimes be viewed as a broad and abstract concept, as it can manifest itself in various forms and styles. But our guest today cleverly sees one area of leadership, building and leading successful teams, as being like a master gardener, something that we can all visualize and relate to. And she'll be speaking to us today on how you can get that proverbial green thumb. Our guest today is distinguished Toastmaster and certified speaking professional, Lauren Parsons. Lauren is a speaker, author, business coach, and well-being specialist, where for over two decades, her practical solutions have helped thousands of busy people feel vibrant, confident, and energized. Lauren is also a Toastmaster for 10 years and is currently a member of the PN Advanced Club in Palmerston North, New Zealand. Lauren has also had bestowed upon her the honor as New Zealand's both Keynote Speaker of the Year and Educator of the Year for 2024 by the Professional Speakers Association of New Zealand. Lauren's speaking has also taken her to the TEDx stage. She's also the host of the Thrive TV show and podcast. Now, if being a business owner is not enough, Lauren tells us that she's also a wife and mother of three who knows how full life can get. Lauren's article, Lead Like a Master Gardener, subtitled Successful Teams Need the Same 12 Conditions as Healthy Plants in Order to Thrive, appears in the April 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from Manawatu, New Zealand, Lauren Parsons, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Hello, Greg. Great to be here.
It's our pleasure. When I saw the comparison of building successful teams to gardening, I thought to myself, if I had been provided with the water and the fertilizer as you had related to them in your analogy or metaphor, I think I might have avoided a few miscues or maybe browned leaves on my plants as a young leader. So to kick things off, if you could please briefly explain the concept and what sparked this epiphany.
Yes, absolutely, Greg. Well, the thing is, you don't need to be a gardener, by the way, to be able to be a great leader. I just want to start by saying that for anyone that's not necessarily a gardener. But the thing is that you can't force plants to grow. They have to do that themselves. But skilled gardeners know how to cultivate the ideal environment and shape great conditions so that their plants will thrive. And I believe leaders need to know how to cultivate the right conditions for their people to thrive. So that's what it's all about. And I've got a series of 12 different things, everything from light, which is like giving your team a clear vision, through to water, giving them positive feedback, fertilizer, which is that coaching feedback, which Toastmasters is so great at, things like pruning, things like weeding regularly, weeding and looking out for little things and staying on top of small issues, right through to good soil, developing a fantastic workplace culture. So I won't go through perhaps all of them because it'll be a massive list, but those 12 keys people can read about in the article, and they really are the foundation to great leadership.
That's very, very true. And what sparked this epiphany?
Well, I was literally gardening and noticing that it was so much easier to pull out these weeds when they were small, you know, and stay on top of them. And every so often I would find a patch of the garden where something had got away on me and it was this huge problem and I had to dig down and really get the roots out. And it just made me think about how as leaders, you know, is that saying that the standard you walk past is the standard you accept. I believe it was General David Morrison who once said that. And, you know, it's those little things that we walk past that become the things we perhaps tolerate that can then grow and grow and become bigger problems, whether that's in your workplace, in your relationships, in your Toastmasters club. So that's one of those principles, is to weed often and stay on top of things before they snowball and get bigger.
Now, before we get to the weeds, and you'd mentioned, yes, we're not certainly not going to have time to go through all 12, and you can certainly read about it in Lauren's article. I want to start with the concept of water. And when I first heard the concept of water with respect to leadership, I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe it's about providing your team with the tools they need. Maybe it's training, maybe it's giving them authority, but you saw it a little bit differently.
Well, we know that without appreciation, people wither. just like plants without water. So we need to regularly water our team, which is getting really good at catching people doing things right and providing immediate specific praise and encouragement. So for me, that's the watering. It's that positive feedback. It's knowing your team members, knowing how they like to receive praise, which is really key, and being able to deliver it, whether that's inviting them in front of their colleagues to receive an award or a certificate or a prize, or just quietly having a quiet word or leaving a note on their desk telling them how much you appreciate something they have done. That positive feedback and appreciation is one of the best leadership skills and tools we have, I believe, to help create positive change, because people do more of what they're praised for.
Yeah, that's, your water is much better than the idea that I had. Now, could you give us an example, perhaps a specific example?
So it's things like noting down how people, as I say, like to receive praise and being able to give that specific feedback. It's things like, rather than saying, you know, as a parent, good girl or good boy, we know is very ineffective because it's not describing the behavior. It's not really giving people anything to go on. In the same way as leaders, we need to avoid saying things like good job. It's much better to say, I really liked how you prepared for that presentation today. I love the stories that you shared, and you had such a compelling finish. Thank you so much.
So being specific, that's great. As I was preparing for this interview, I read an article in Forbes, and it was interesting about not only giving the praise, but trying to find out how and where and when they appreciate it. Because I understand that some people like to have it in private. Some people like to have it in public. And if you recognize somebody publicly who doesn't feel comfortable with that, then that can actually be a negative.
Absolutely. And that's really key. You know, if Jenny likes to receive private praise and you call her up in front of everyone to give her a gift or a bunch of flowers, that's going to fall flat. And equally, if you give Mike a quiet card on the sly, Mike might feel like, well, Lauren didn't really mean that because, you know, she didn't say that in front of my team. So we've got to understand. And I actually explicitly asked my team, I recommend that leaders use what I call a getting to know you form, which is just a really simple questionnaire when people join your team, or you could use this even in your club, that asks, what's your favorite cafe? What's your favorite color? Your favorite song? Do you like public praise? Do you like surprises? Do you like awards? And you ask all these questions and you keep it on that person's personnel file. And it means that as soon as that person has done something over and above, you can shout them a voucher to their favorite cafe, or even just play their favorite song as they walk into their office. Doesn't have to be a monetary focused thing, but showing that you take the time to get to know your team, that you care about them, and then expressing that recognition and praise in a way that's going to land with them is really powerful.
I think for some, it might take a little while to get used to that, because some people may not feel comfortable sharing personal things about them, especially in a new job.
Oh, well, to be honest, Greg, I haven't actually found that before. I've found it's been really well adopted. For example, I use this with my clients and encourage them to get people to fill in. Yeah, they're not super personal questions, just things like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite cafe? What's your favorite charity? They understand that it's on the basis that then their manager is equipped with this way to actually reward and thank them. And people really appreciate when you personalize that for them.
Yeah, that's true. I think if you tell them the why, I think it'll go a long way. The article, the Forbes article also mentioned, it says that some revel, just to add to what you'd mentioned earlier, some revel in being recognized for the big wins while others want to know that their ongoing efforts or expertise are valued. So even the recognition in terms of what it means. So that certainly makes a lot of sense.
Nice.
I love the idioms in the article. I love how you suggested praise at the right time so they can, quote unquote, soak it up.
Yes, absolutely.
When I read that, I just chuckled.
One of the key things, Greg, is remembering that we all tend to give out praise and communication in our own style, the way that we would like to receive it. So, you know, there's a thing called the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated. But what's even more important is the platinum rule, to treat others as they want to be treated. And so that's why it's key to find out how other people want to receive praise and then modify what you would naturally do, which might be giving a gift, and actually make it a card or make it, you know, words of affirmation or make it quality time, depending on what that person actually wants to receive.
Yeah, and getting that information ahead of time sort of takes the big question mark out of the equation.
Yes, when you're not sure, just ask.
Exactly. The next one I'd like to talk a little bit about is the fertilizer. And the fertilizer is a little bit more than just imparting your wisdom on your team.
Absolutely. And we are so good at this in Toastmasters, I have to say. It's what I love most about Toastmasters, the positive, constructive, corrective feedback. And when this is given, this is what helps us really reach our true potential. You know, so when we can give constructive feedback in the right way at the right time, which, you know, we have amazing evaluation competitions that really focus on this. And I have to say, I think Toastmasters, one of the key skills that I've gained is being a much better listener, being a much better critical thinker, and being able to learn so much. Anytime I hear anyone else speak, part of my brain is just listening and enjoying the message, but the other part of my brain is assessing and reviewing and being amazed at certain techniques that they're using. And then obviously in a club setting, thinking about how to feed that back. So both in clubs and in workplaces, that fertilizer, which to me is that coaching feedback, is really key. Being able to give specific guidance to help people grow, to help people understand their blind spots, the things they didn't know, so that they can get better and better.
Yeah, you know, I once heard that, I don't know if they have the pink slips in New Zealand, but I once heard that sometimes the only time you get feedback in your job is when it's too late.
Yes, and there's one way around that, which is to do what are called staying interviews rather than exit interviews. That's sort of a slightly different topic.
What I'm sure we also find as Toastmasters is that the more speakers we see, the more we end up dissecting and looking at their technique and listening to what they're saying and focusing on all the little attributes rather than just listening for the content.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we do.
One of the other elements, or I guess we call it an element, was the wind protection, the psychological safety. Can you tell us what that is about and how would you build that in an organization?
Yes. So we know that wind can harm what would otherwise be thriving plants, especially when they're getting established. So wind protection is this thing called psychological safety, which is really a fancy word for building a high trust environment. So where leaders can build an environment where people feel safe and comfortable to be themselves, able to speak up if perhaps they have a different opinion or they have a different idea, or perhaps they can see a flaw or a challenge that someone else in something someone else has said. If you have a high psychological safety environment, then people feel comfortable to do that. So for example, in a meeting where Mike says, hey, I think we should do XYZ, Sandra can say, Mike, I'm not sure if you've actually considered A, B, and C. And perhaps if we took that into account, could we have a different outcome? So I talk about four keys to building psychological safety. First thing is you've got to commit to it and communicate the importance of it. So make it a priority, set the example, communicate about having candor with your colleagues is important. Second thing is ask great questions and listen deeply. Often as leaders and as humans, I think we're not the best listeners. So creating an environment that encourages people to actually open up. The third thing is facilitate everyone speaking up. So encourage people who may not have the same opinions as you to actually share their point of view. So you're getting that diverse range of opinions. And the last one is to make failure okay. You can actually even have what's called a failure party, you know, get together over cake and discuss, hey, this didn't go so well this time. What can we learn from it? So it's about approaching those situations with curiosity and reflecting on all the learnings you can gain from them.
We can bring in the cupcake that are all burnt. There's your failure cake.
Yeah. Hopefully you have good cake for the failure party.
Now, in terms of bringing this type of environment or creating or fostering this type of environment in an organization that has never really gone there, what are some of the ways that you could ease an organization into it?
I think the key thing is, you know, have a look at, if you have a chance to read the article, look at those 12 keys and ask yourself these two questions. Which of these things are we doing well at the moment? Because there will be some that no doubt so many organizations are doing well. And also think about which are the ones that we could improve and perhaps just pick one. Perhaps it's that you have a vision, but you're not communicating it clearly. So perhaps you could do more around your vision to inspire the team. I highly recommend getting the watering happening. You know, plants literally can't survive without water. Just as humans, we can't thrive without that appreciation. So that's really key. Keep the coaching going. Make sure people have a good induction period. Set up the training. Create that high trust environment. And that one of the other keys is weeding. So weeding is about staying on top of those issues when they're small. The more that we can do all of these things, the more you're going to build a thriving culture. But the place that you start will depend on what are your strengths right now and which are the ones that you want to start with working on.
Yeah, I find with something with weeding, addressing things as soon as possible, I find often in organizations, or I shouldn't say often, but sometimes in organizations, people don't address things, figuring that, well, maybe they'll just be swept under the rug, or perhaps the wind will take them away.
Yes.
And that they're, it's not going to be a problem. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. And we know that when we do that, actually, they're just going to grow. That, you know, one person turning up late to the meeting, not sending their gender on time, not wearing the correct uniform, or whatever the situation is, it creates a slippery slope where other people can say, well, if they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. And it very quickly becomes the way things are done around here. So it's really key to stay on top of those weeds, and perhaps not to go around and constantly only be pulling out weeds. You don't want to be the leader that's only ever telling people off. So you do need to use judgment to decide, when shall I be a little bit flexible here? But if you notice patterns in your team or in your club members, in your Toastmasters club, and you're noticing that it's becoming a trend, that's a really good idea to get on top of it. Because out of sight, weeds actually steal precious nutrients and undermine the other, you know, plants around them. And I think that when we have these negative behaviors creeping in, it's like that old saying that one bad apple can spoil the barrel. So we want to actually stand up for what's important.
You really like this gardening thing, don't you?
How many analogies can we fit in here?
It's like I got this little clicker going, 1, 2, 3, 20, 22. No, it's great because you're talking about weeding and all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, well, when the weeding is done, maybe it's time to prune, right?
Yeah.
Or prioritize. So please tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, pruning is also important. Pruning is about the prioritizing. And we know that cutting off alternatives and being decisive and saying, this is where I want you to focus your energy is really key. Both, you can picture that for a plant, that when we prune, we literally cut off limbs and we allow the plant to grow in a certain direction. The word decide actually comes from the Latin word decidere, which literally means to cut off. So when you make a decision and you say, we're not going to focus on this program, we're going to focus on that program, you help your team to stop feeling overloaded and overwhelmed, and you help them to get clarity on where they should put their time and energy and effort. So I think it's really key for leaders to help their team members understand priorities and constantly be checking in on those.
As you're speaking, Lauren, I'm getting back to my original idea about how sometimes leadership can be such an abstract concept. But as you're sharing more and more of these gardening analogies or gardening metaphors, and including all your idioms, all of a sudden I'm almost perceiving, or I'm also seeing a garden and all the things in the garden. And it's funny because sometimes when, as leaders, we may not know what to do, all we need to do is go and look at our garden and see what needs to be done.
Absolutely. There's so much that we can learn from nature, you know, and I think even just coming back to regular weeding, water, fertilizer, how can you be doing that in the workplace for your team? Maybe you can't force your team members to grow, but you can create the ideal environment to help them thrive. And that really starts at a leadership level.
Yeah. I appreciate how what you're sharing applies to really any leadership area, but also specifically you mentioned Toastmasters. So I'm curious, You've been a professional speaker for 20 years, but yet you still joined Toastmasters 10 years ago. How did you discover Toastmasters? And pardon the pun, how has it helped you grow?
Well, I do. I love Toastmasters. And I discovered it because I initially had a perception that it was a place you go if you want to learn how to do a mother of the bride, father of the groom type speech, or something for beginner speakers. But a friend of mine who was an accomplished professional speaker, she mentioned that she was going and getting great feedback. So when my husband and I actually moved over to Canberra, Australia, I joined a club and it was amazing, monthly dinner club. It was very fun and social and it was brilliant. And it just has given me these opportunities to test out little 7-minute segments of talks that I might normally give. I speak around resilience and well-being and productivity for workplaces. So I get to test out little segments and get this amazing feedback. So it has been absolutely invaluable. And I've had a lot of fun. My husband's in the military, so we've moved all around the world. I've been part in Toastmasters in Ottawa, in Canberra, in New Zealand. And it's just been a really fun journey.
Incredible. So tell us a little bit of about how you were a master gardener when you were the president of your club.
Well, I think the thing that comes to mind first is, you know, number one is to have a clear vision. And so as soon as I became the president of, this was a club, Talk of the Town in Palmerston North, New Zealand, we as a committee got together and we talked about what's our vision. Like obviously Toastmasters has an amazing vision, but we wanted to have our own personalised one for our club. And so we decided that we wanted to create a warm, safe, supportive and inspiring environment. And those four words were really key: warm, safe, supportive, inspiring environment for our members to come in and grow. So I think that's really key as a leader, is setting a clear vision and then just, yeah, constantly trying to catch people doing things right, thank them and praise them, and make sure people felt valued and appreciated. And I think as we do that as leaders, we're going to be able to get the best out of people.
Wow. I know for us here in North America, spring is coming around, so we'll be starting our gardening. I understand where you are. I guess it's fall time, if I'm not mistaken. Whenever I think of leadership, I'm going to be thinking of gardening. And the other thing I'd love to share with you is your article resonated for a number of reasons, but another reason that it resonated with me is because of this movie called Being There. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that movie.
No, I haven't. No.
Well, it came out in 1980 and it stars the late Peter Sellers. And you might know him for his role as Inspector Clouseau in The Pink Panther. And
yes.
Being There was his last movie, and it's a satirical comedy, sort of satirical comedy drama. Peter Sellers, he plays this simple man who lived his life as a gardener for an old recluse. That's pretty much as a young boy to when he was older. And he was always wearing the old man's clothes. And when the old man dies, he gets hit by this car and he finds himself being interviewed on television. And he's asked these questions on an unrelated topic. Now, the only thing that he knew was gardening. So he would answer these questions about gardens and gardening. That's all he would say. The irony behind all of this is that these are interpreted by the media and even the president of the United States as powerful metaphors for economic growth and cycles. As soon as I read the article, I immediately thought about this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes absolute sense. So that's the thing, we can learn so much in our lives when we look at nature, when we look at, the seasonal effects, you know, of harvesting and planting and growing. Absolutely.
Now, Lauren, I appreciate you sharing some of the 12 keys that you have to becoming a master gardener, but I understand that this is sort of part of a bigger publication. It's part of your book, I understand. Can you please tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I wrote Thriving Leaders, Thriving Teams as a real guide to help people stop languishing, start flourishing, and create a positive, energized workplace. So the analogies around leadership and around gardening are just part of the book, where I expand on all of those things and really talk to leaders about what they can do in terms of self-leadership to help themselves thrive, and then also help their teams thrive by creating a positive, thriving environment.
And if anyone wants a short introduction, you can get the 12 keys in Lauren's article, Lead Like a Master Gardener, Successful Teams That Need the Same 12 Conditions as Healthy Plants in Order to Thrive, which appears in the April 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Well, folks, if you've been able to develop good soil and have harvested some sun-kissed ripe tomatoes as I have from this conversation, I encourage you to share the podcast and these gardening tips with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, before we leave, Lauren, if you'd be so kind as to let people know if they want to connect with you or perhaps get some more gardening tips, either kind, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if I can give many gardening tips, but certainly leadership tips. So I would love to connect with people on LinkedIn. You'll find me there, Lauren Parsons NZ. And my website is laurenparsonswellbeing.com. So hundreds of articles there, and I'd love for people to visit. And any of your listeners are welcome to download the first chapter of my book if they head to thrivingleadersthrivingteams.com. So feel free to do that. And listen into my podcast as well. So laurenparsonswellbeing.com.
Excellent. Lauren Parsons, thank you so much for taking the time to appear on the program. It's been greatly appreciated.
Such a pleasure. Thanks so much, Greg.
Ever imagined a book written just for you? Introducing Pooks.ai. We're not just another bookstore. We're the future of reading. Our state-of-the-art AI adapts each book to your specific needs, creating a personalized masterpiece. Visit Pooks.ai now, that's P-O-O-K-S.ai, and use the promotion code SPOTIFY for a whopping 50% off. Pooks.ai, your personalized book awaits.